Train 45 leaving Union Station, Cincinnati, Ohio. All aboard for All Points South.
I asked Adam if he had a favorite Train song. He claimed not really so much, but he says if you're going to play one, how about Train 45?
Yeah.
So we got the Stanley Brothers.
Yeah.
I was trying to convince him to let me play Locomotive Breath, but apparently that wasn't going to be fun.
Or what about you could do Grand Funk Railroad's version of Locomotion, which has nothing to do with it. But it is, you know, one after another like a train.
Well, exactly, sure. It's like a train. Well, there's train songs are everywhere, and trains are everywhere. The tracks, even when the trains are gone, the tracks stay behind.
Mm-hmm.
And we are joined this morning by Adam Matthews, who we get very regular visits when he's with the Elyria Public Library. But he's here sort of under the guise of the Nickel Plate Road Historical and Technical Society. You're a board member of that.
Yes, I'm the Internet Services Director.
But you're also with the library, and you're doing a special talk at the library.
Yes.
So this is coming up on Thursday, July 6th at 6:30 at the Central Library. What is your talk going to be about?
Well, it's basically, there's two parts to it. The first part is basically a history of all of the railroads in Lorain County, because at one time or another, there were about 10 different railroad companies that operated in Lorain County, and now there's only three. So,
and that's because of what? Consolidation?
Consolidation. Some of them were abandoned. Businesses dried up. A couple of them were the electric interurbans, you know, the streetcars, and those were long gone.
Yeah. So who are the three that remain?
The three that remain are Norfolk Southern, CSX, and Wheeling and Lake Erie.
Okay. And prior to this, you mentioned, because we're sort of a hub.
Mm-hmm.
From both going east and west and north south in a sense.
Yes,
Who were some of the names that have since passed?
Well, the New York Central's gone. That went through downtown Elyria right here. Baltimore and Ohio's gone. The Nickel Plate is gone. Of those three companies, their tracks still remain because they're operated by Norfolk Southern and CSX today instead.
And so when you're going to talk today on Thursday the 6th about this, how are you going to bring this to life? What kind of things are we going to see? Are you going to
Well, we're going to see lots of pictures from the old good old days of all the old facilities that used to be around in all the different towns. You'll learn about the locomotives that once ran through here. I mean, back in 1930, we had steam locomotives going 100 miles per hour through downtown Elyria every day, every other hour.
What kind of impact did it have on this community to have that kind of rail traffic here?
It had a big impact. I mean, the steel mill wouldn't be around if it wasn't for the railroads in Lorain, you know. You know, everyone wanted to get to the steel mill in Lorain. There's a whole web that went there. You know, everybody wanted in on that. And once that sort of went away, then they sort of migrated over to the Ford plant. And there's a big yard still there. Even though the Ford plant's closed, they still use the tracks to store cars and stuff there. So it had a big impact. And then there's, of course, the story of how time was invented in Lorain County. Modern timekeeping practices.
Okay, Bruce.
No, wait a minute. Okay. I know sort of how railroads created time zones and the need for this, but was Lorain County sort of
a big wreck in Kipton, Ohio, okay, west of Oberlin, you know?
Right.
And that wreck influenced a man named Webb C. Ball, who was a jeweler and a watchmaker. And he thought, well, if the one conductor's watch had been correct, the wreck would have been averted. But it didn't happen. So he set himself the task to create the most accurate pocket watch possible for railroaders to use. And that influenced every single railroad in the country and around the world to have standardized watches for every employee. So when you hear On the Ball, that's not an actual ball. It's on a ball pocket watch because everyone had to have one. It had to be synchronized. It had to be checked every other week by a professional jeweler, watchmaker.
Was ball a brand name of a
pocket? It became a brand name
okay.
after the man who invented it. So
there you go. Mm-hmm. See that?
Mm-hmm. What about technology today, though? I assume it's different? Or do they all have these pocket watches
even
now?
Well, now they have modern equivalents, you know, and everything's digitized now. There's a big room over in Bellevue, Ohio, where there's a guy looking at screens all around him in a tiny little closed room, and he sees everything that's going on digitally out on the railroad.
You sound like you've been in this room.
I have not been in it.
Okay.
No.
You've only seen a picture
I've
of a
seen
room.
Them.
Okay.
Well, he's in Bellevue, and he looks at these different screens for this area or for a larger?
Pretty much this area. Down in the NS headquarters, they've got an even bigger room that shows the whole system. So.
Okay. Now, we've heard through the years different groups have tried to restore older railroad engines, railroad cars. Have you ever had an opportunity to take a ride on maybe some of these older units?
And work on them, too.
Tell us about that experience. What's it like?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I was in Chicago for the Fort Wayne Railroad Historical Society's Joliet Rocket Excursions, which was powered by their steam locomotive nickel plate road 765. And that was a whole lot of fun because it was hosted on Metra, the commuter railroad out there in Chicago. And because it's Metra, they allowed the engine to reach speeds of 70 miles per hour instead of restricting it at 40, which Norfolk Southern does. And the engine can go over 70 miles per hour with about 15 cars behind it. So to see that engine go at its full potential for the first time in my life, at least, was really, really cool. Because if you've ever seen a 400-ton tea kettle move at 70 miles per hour, you're never going to forget it.
Yesterday, we had on the air Chris Gilchrist from the National Museum of the Great Lakes, and we talked about some of the big tankers, the ships on the Great Lakes, Lake Erie in particular, and we talked about life on those ships during the summer for the people. What was life like, or maybe still is, for engineers, conductors on trains now?
Well, there's less people than there was back in the day, of course. To run a train back in the steam days, there were about five people per crew because you had the engineer, the fireman, the head brakeman, the rear brakeman, and the conductor. Today, we've got the engineer and the conductor, and they do the work of five. Of course, some of the stuff has been automated, of course, with new technology, and you don't have to maintain the diesel locomotives as much as you did the steam locomotives. The steam locomotives were constant care.
Are they gone from home for how long at a time, usually?
Ideally, they're on the road for 8 hours. You know, that's the limit. But it can go higher than that or lower than that depending on what's happening. You know, delays get involved, and it can be a very complicated process. So
we're talking today with Adam Matthews. He has a presentation at the Central Library, Illyria Public Library on Washington Avenue on Thursday, July 6th at 6:30, all about the railroads of Lorain County. I wanted to ask you about the passenger aspect of it. Amtrak is the only thing we have these days that people think of it. How important or what was the passenger rail that came through?
Well, everybody ran passenger trains back in the day. And what's interesting is that everything was privately funded back then. There were no publicly funded railroads in the United States of America.
Well, you had the railroad barons, right?
Isn't that,
I mean, these are the guys that had the railroads. They sort of literally ran a lot of things.
They ran everything. The United States is unique because we're one of the few countries that had privatized rail travel. In Great Britain, it was privatized but overseen by the government, and then it was eventually, after World War II, entirely under the government's control. But back to passenger trains, Lorain County got the 20th Century Limited came through. That train went from New York to Chicago in 16 and a half hours. which is pretty fast. If you do that today, you can't. We had the Capital Limited with the Baltimore and Ohio. We had the nickel plate trains coming from Buffalo to Chicago. There was the Westerner. So we had lots of high-speed rail back in the day, but now we don't.
Well, some people today are pushing for that again. Mm-hmm. Has that time passed, or is it in the future?
I think it's possible. People need to realize that if you're traveling, if you're on the turnpike and you're in a traffic jam and you realize, wait a minute, all of these people are trying to drive to the same place and we've got 100 cars for 100 people. All of these people could fit into two passenger cars, you know, and they'd all get there faster. They wouldn't have to worry about driving. They could relax. They can get things done while on the train. Multitasking is the thing now for some people. So just imagine traveling without having to worry about being run over by a semi-truck or something like that. You know, weather conditions, it doesn't matter if you're on a train because you're not the one driving. You're just along for the ride. So
I'm very upset there. Can't find a caboose anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to cabooses?
Cabooses sort of died out in the late 70s, early 80s. If you go into a modern diesel locomotive cab, there's air conditioning and a bathroom and all of these modern amenities that steam locomotives didn't have. And also, you don't have five people running the train. There's only two. So those two people can just ride up at the front of the cab of the locomotive, and you don't need the caboose anymore to protect the back end of the train.
How do you know when the train's done? It's over.
But,
it's some little wimpy little kind of just reflector or something.
It's a little end-of-train device. It's a little flashing light.
And sometimes with the caboose, there'd be a gentleman standing up there waving at you as you were waiting at the, you know, with the gates down.
Right. Well, I sometimes,
can't we get back to that,
well,
Bruce?
You know, my father was a train. He enjoyed model railroad. He also, when we grew up, he enjoyed getting stopped by trains. There's some people that when they see the gates come down, they try to, you know, not wisely try to beat the gate.
Yeah.
Or when they're stopped by a train, they just moan about it. He always enjoyed it. Sometimes we'd pull over at some little siding just to sort of watch the trains even get out of it. That's a massive force. You're in a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing. When you're standing somewhat off of the tracks and these trains go by, there's a force that goes by with something.
They're powerful.
Like that. And they're still needed to be respected as they are today. I wonder when your interest in trains began.
When I was younger, maybe when I was around 2 years old, I would spend lots of time with my grandfather who liked trains. So he and I would just watch train videos all day, and he had a very old Lionel that he brought up once, and it only ever worked once because it was so old. But it all came from that and watching Thomas the Tank Engine growing up and things like that, and traveling. We travel a lot, so our vacations are centered around train travel.
And there are some out west where you have the different excursions that
And closer to home, too.
Okay.
I mean, there's a couple in Michigan that you can ride. Pennsylvania is full of them. Ohio, though, you got to go all the way to either Cuyahoga, you know, the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, or you can go all the way to the Hocking Valley Scenic Railroad down in Nelsonville.
Do you think the one that's the one in Lorain County?
Involved with that one.
there's a gap where they have a certain part of the tracks, and then some parts are still under.
There's a turnpike driving through the middle of it right now.
Okay.
But
darn that turnpike.
If you go to the Amherst exit, it's a very convoluted exit. You know, there's all these twists and bends and curves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And from what I know, there is physically space for the railroad to go through that exit somehow, in some way. It's possible.
Right.
So,
do you have a model railroad at home?
Oh, yeah.
What scale?
I am in O-gauge, three-rail O-gauge. So that's the size of your, you know, classic Lionel electric trains. But most of my rolling stock and locomotives are from Lionel's biggest competitor, MTH electric trains. And it's sort of like comparing Apple to Macintosh for me because I'm an Apple fan. So MTH is sort of like Apple, and Lionel is sort of like Windows to me.
Yeah, I understand. Sure. So. I asked when we sat down, because there was the ad that you had cut out, Craig, from the paper, and I asked him to identify the train in here, mm-hmm. and you said it was...
That's Nickel Plate Road 765.
And, I said, mm-hmm. where did the picture? And he goes, well, he took the picture. Mm-hmm. He also approved it, because I thought sometimes as a railroad person, mm-hmm. you'll probably be watching movies or certain things, and there's that point in your head you're going... That train was not, or that's mm-hmm. the wrong scale for the yeah. train. The wheel numbers or whatever mm-hmm. Is not correct. So that's yeah. a burden that you have to live with, mm-hmm. I guess, as somebody who enjoys yeah. this. But again, you're going to be giving a talk coming up on Thursday, July. Is this your first one for the library that you've done?
Well, we did the Festival of Trains and Trees back in December. Okay. So we had a model train display at the library over Christmas. But this is the first time I'm doing this particular talk at the library. I've done it before at other historical societies and venues in the area.
Okay. Now, do people need to register for anything?
I would suggest registering. You just call the number right there or go online to our website at IlleriaLibrary.org. You don't really have to register, but space is limited. You know, there's only about 60 people that can fit in the room.
Okay. Do you have one of those wooden train whistles, by the way? Do you own
I don't one? Have one with me.
Well, you do. Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
And you've got a cap, I assume?
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
Any kind of a lantern or anything? That's the other part of it, too.
No, I don't have a lantern yet. Those are expensive to get.
He was
going to
say
ones.
Hard to find, yeah. then he went slash expensive yeah. mm-hmm. as well. Nowadays, with the internet and everything, you can find out any yeah. pieces, parts that you probably need. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, Craig, if I Google Caboose, there's probably one for sale out yeah, there somewhere mm-hmm. for $1 as long mm-hmm. as I can move it.
Well, you know, there's a train car up in Avon Lake there, right? You know,
yeah, the railway barber
yeah,
shop.
Yeah.
My friend is a barber there.
There
so,
you go.
Yep.
That's how you can use mm-hmm. an old rail car.
Mm-hmm.
To cut hair, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
That's the one in Avon, right?
Yep. No. Yep.
The site of my last haircut.
I miss the days. Now, this is separate. Trolleyville used to be in Olmsted Falls mm-hmm. area there, and they don't have that around there. But they used to have the you'd have a special thing, and it says, ask the conductor or whatever, if he's not seen, if punched your ticket, ask him for mm-hmm. a punch. That was the big joke that was going on there.
That trolley thing is now closer to Chippewa Lake. They've got a little thing going now.
Okay.
Northern Ohio Railway Museum. They're starting to get going again with all of their electric stuff.
Sounds good. Well, there's a lot of different people who, different genres, things they like, different types of mm-hmm. Trains. They mentioned the railroads and stuff. But you can find out more because Adam will be having the talk again at the the Central Library in Washington Avenue, mm-hmm. 6:30, coming up on Thursday, July 6th. You can call 322-0461, or you can visit IlleriaLibrary.org for more details. Adam, thanks for stopping in
yeah,
this morning.
Thanks
appreciate
for
it.
Having me.
It is
fun.
Sure. All right, Craig, this is just for you. I'm just going to give you the locomotion if I can give you that. So.